going to the lost too. I always find that hard to know definitely what he wants you to say, not so much what you want to say, but what does he want said. When you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he says that God had put all things under his feet, the Lord Jesus, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Colossians chapter 1. In verse 15. Again speaking of the Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I'd like to speak tonight simply on the body. We have presented to us in these two verses who the head of the body is, and that's the Lord Jesus himself. But those of us here tonight who are believers are part of his body. It's a tremendous mystery to really think about that one statement, that we are members of his body. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Our natural bodies are wonderful things when they work right. When they start to break down, you start to understand how simple we really are and how dependent we are upon God. He gives to all life and breath and all things freely. Everything that God gives to us is a gift, isn't it? He doesn't charge us. If he started to charge us for our breath today, I don't care how many credit cards you have, if you charge $1 for every breath, we'd be broke by the end of the week. That's for sure. But the body. We read in encyclopedias about the heart and the circulatory system alone. Our heart alone beats over 100,000 times a day. Think about that. We don't think about it, but 100,000 times a day our heart beats. We over have 100,000 million miles of arteries and veins in our bodies for the blood to circulate. And we've got all these different parts to our body. We've got the liver and the pancreas and the pituitary gland, the thyroid, all these different parts. And of course we have the parts that are seen too, the hands and the feet. And all these things put together make a body. Well, God has a body too. And that body he refers to as the church. And there's this head to the body, and he is the Lord Jesus. And he came before the rest of the parts of the body, the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these parts connect to the head. And the older I get, the more I realize how little in control I am of my life, but how much in control he is of our lives. He tells us here that God the Father gave the Lord Jesus all these things. For by him, think of these words, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, the things that we see, and the things that are not seen. All were created by him. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him. Doesn't stop there. And for him, the reason that every one of us were created, the reason we live and have our being, is for his glory, created for him. The body. Interesting. I know I heard about Aaron mentioning the other week. That's a good illustration of the body. We're like a bicycle wheel, right? And every part of the body, we're like the spokes. And as we get closer to the center, as we get closer to Christ, we get closer to one another, don't we? And as we get further from Christ, then we're all further from one another, too. I was mentioning that up north last weekend, and an older brother came to me and said, you know, that's not all there is to that example. He says, you know, if there's a spoke missing here and missing there, the wheel doesn't turn as well, does it? So that bicycle with some spokes missing, you know what that's all about. We go down the street, pretty bumpy. Every part of the body is necessary. And all of us have different gifts, different things to perform within that body. We want to look at 1 Corinthians 12. The Lord Jesus never said anything about the body, per se. It's interesting. He revealed all of this to the Apostle Paul. He was the one that used this illustration of what the church is to Christ, that it's a body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Doesn't matter where you come from. One Spirit, as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, we're all baptized into one body. We're all grafted in to the Lord Jesus Christ, His body. Whether we be bond or free, doesn't matter if you're a servant or you're a free man, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. That's very evident, isn't it? Our bodies have many members. All of them are important, all of them individuals. I really believe that what the Lord Jesus seeks more than anything else is that He can develop an intimate relationship with every one of us on an individual basis. That's our primary goal, is to spend time with Him. I don't believe any of us will ever be able to comprehend what it means to the Lord Jesus when we spend just a little time with Him, alone, individually. You guys that are married, you know what that's like. How much you appreciate that little time you get alone with your wife. Just spend time alone with that one that you love. And it means the same to the Lord Jesus when we just get alone with Him. Didn't He say that? Mary hath chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. What was she doing? Just sitting at His feet, hearing His word, just listening to what He had to say. And that means more to us too. The Lord does not need our service. I'm saying that very carefully. What He wants is our worship. Just our time spent alone with Him. He wants that more than anything that we can ever imagine. Our worship, our appreciation of who He is. And if each one of us are not individually doing that, then the body can't really work the way the Lord intended it to. We all need to be worshipers of the Lord Jesus and to appreciate individually what He has done for us. If you're a wife and you're at home, you need time alone with the Lord. Husbands, you need time alone with the Lord. Kids, all the young people here tonight, you need to spend time alone with the Lord Jesus. He wants to tell you how much He loves you. And we sit there and we listen to that and we respond in love to Him because we realize how much He loves us. Every one of us in this room that are believers are important to one another. Not just this small group, because this is just a small part of the body, isn't it? The body is huge. It goes around the world as we know it. We join with every believer. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we all have a responsibility within that body. Sometimes we want to just go for the free ride. It's only riding on our shoulder. But if we're part of the body, then we all need to be busy as part of that body. And you know the wonderful thing about the body is it's all attached to where? To the head, right? Nothing happens in the body like I'm moving my hand and I'm not really thinking about it. Nothing happens like that apart from the head guiding all those actions, right? Take your hammer and you hit your thumb Nothing happens, right? You bet something happens. You know, in that short amount of time, it doesn't take very long, you hit your thumb with a hammer, and the nerves transmit that to the head, and the head transmits down to the mouth, and to the rest of the body, get moving, you know, and you jump and yow! All of us feel part of what just the thumb felt. And you know, there's a wonderful verse. The Lord Jesus says about him that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tested in all points like we are yet without sin. He feels, the head feels everything that happens within the body. Now, someone said that man is an island. There is some sense of truth to that. We all are individually responsible to the Lord. I don't have to answer for you, and you don't have to answer for me. We all individually have to answer the Lord. There is a little bit of truth to that. But also, we're not just an island. We're all connected as part of the body of Christ. And what happens to one member, the other members feel it as well. Sometimes we say, you see a brother that's a real pain in the neck or a sister, and I'm glad they're gone. You can't say that. They're part of the body, and every part is needed, isn't it? I don't need that heart anymore. I don't need that liver. I don't need that kidney. You know, you can say that all you want, but those things are needed. And you notice what Paul says by the Lord in verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Just because you say you're not doesn't mean that's true. The foot. And the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? A big problem in the church and the body of Christ is that some of us are not satisfied with what the Lord has given to us as a gift. Just to be thankful for what He's given to us to do. Sometimes we want to be seen, you know. But generally, those gifts are not the primary gifts in the church. It's the gifts that are unseen. The works that are done behind the scenes, those are really what matter, and those are the things that uphold the body. Think about it, your body. Is it your hands that really keep you living? No. It's the things that are not seen. It's your heart. It's your lungs. It's your liver. It's your kidneys. Those things that are unseen are the workers behind the scenes that really keep the body alive. And that's true in the church. Not the ones who are seen. Things that are not seen. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If all of us had the same gift, how ugly that body would be. If we were all an eye, you'd just see that eye rolling down the street, right? What a sad body that would be. We need the different parts of the body. Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased you. Is that what He says? I'm thankful the Lord doesn't say that. He places everyone in the body as it pleases Him. And what a wonderful promise that is. That every one of us, no matter how small, how big, how young, or how old, God has a place for you in this body. And He wants us all to be busy for the Lord Jesus. And we listen to the head, don't we? He's the one that's telling the body what to do. Christ is the head. He is before all things, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Not me, not the people who see any of us, but that they'll see Christ working in and through us. Now, one thing happens to us that the Lord doesn't feel. If one of us sins, it affects the whole body. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's just a little cancer. Not to be a lot of cancer, does it? Just a little cancer. If we hear that word, we go to the doctor, and he cuts something, and you hear that word, cancer, that means something to us. And it should mean something in our life when we hear that word sin. One sin. If there had only been one sin, the Lord Jesus would still have had to come to die. for that one sin. That shows us how costly sin really is before a holy God. And we need to be careful in our own lives. We can't do it. None of us can keep from sin apart from the work of the Lord in our lives. We need to ask Him every day to pray. That head, that one above us, we need Him. What did Paul say? Without Christ, you can do what? Without your head, what can you do? I chopped your head off, what can you do? Nothing. We need the Lord Jesus, and we neglect Him, don't we? On a day-to-day basis, we need to spend time with Him, just alone, to hear Him through His Word and to pray to Him and talk to Him. The body. Are we pleased with what the Lord has given us to do, or is it not good enough? What the Lord has given to me to do, or to you. You know, it tells us in the Bible that the gifts that the Lord has given, if we're a steward of that gift, we're to be found faithful with that gift. And it starts very simply. I didn't start off coming up and speaking. I really didn't. You know where I started? Young people, all those of you young, picking up the hymn books, locking up the chapel. Those are the things that I did. And you know, if we're faithful in those little things, what does God do? He gives us more to do. He gives us a different gift. And He just, as we grow physically in a body, we grow spiritually too. And He gives us more and more to the point sometimes where we don't think we can handle it anymore. But the Lord is a gracious giver. And we need to be faithful in those things that God has given to us to do. God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased Him. There's some brothers and sisters in Christ that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and I love, and I envy their gift. But I don't have their gift. But I'm thankful that the Lord gave them the gift He gave them, and I can appreciate the gift that the Lord has given to them. Some of the young people in this chapel, I don't have their gift. I really don't. But I'm thankful the Lord has given them their gift, and the older ones too. As we look around this assembly, as we look around other assemblies, we see the gifts that the Lord has given to individual believers as it hath pleased Him. If they were all one member, where were the body? Again, if we're all one, if we're just all a hand, where's the body? A hand by itself isn't very useful. But that part, put together with all the parts, something's accomplished for God, isn't it? And nothing's going to be accomplished if we individually don't try to use a gift, or gifts, plural, that the Lord has given to us. Do we care for one another? Do we feel what the Lord feels? You know, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord feels what we feel, isn't it? When we stub our thumb, the Lord feels it. But do we feel what He feels? When we look at the lost, do we feel what He feels? Do we see them the way the Lord sees them? Or what about a brother or sister that's away from the Lord? Do we see them the way the Lord sees them? Do we see ourselves the way the Lord sees us? We're just sinners, and we all need His help from day to day. But you know, He feels, but do we feel like Him? Do we feel those heads? If you have a headache, it affects the rest of the body, doesn't it? And sometimes I really believe the Lord's is aching. His heart is aching for what He sees today in my life and yours. And we need to become holy, become more like Him. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We say that. Who needs you? We all need one another. Why do you think the Lord said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together? And so much the more you see the day approaching. Why did He say that? Is He trying to be mean? You know, you're tired from the week of work, and you got to come out to meeting. I've got a headache, and all these other excuses we use. Why did the Lord say it? To be mean? Absolutely not. He knew that we needed one another. We needed to fellowship with one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. The Lord's coming. And it's very soon. I believe all of us believe that. The Lord's coming not very far away. And we need one another more than we think. I have no need of thee. What if our body said that? I don't need you. Sometimes we think that, and we don't appreciate things until we lose them. Isn't that true? And we should appreciate one another and one another's gifts in the assembly, in the church. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. They cut out parts of our bodies, and we still don't know what they're for. Our tonsils they cut out, our appendix they cut out, and we don't know necessarily what those parts mean even today. But every part of the body is important, no matter how small it may seem. It may be very feeble. An older sister, you know, you got to go and help her from the car. Old widow. I can remember picking some up, you know, just getting out of the car and getting into the chapel. Just so feeble, you know, you could see their bodies were feeling the weight of their year. Are they important? Some of the best encouragement I've had as a younger man came from some of those older sisters that were very feeble. And it'd be easy to say, we don't need them anymore. You know, the world's saying that. Let's get rid of the old people. Let's get rid of the babies. Those feeble things. We don't need them. But we do. We need one another. And as we get older, sometimes we think we're not needed so much, but we are needed in the body. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. One day in heaven, the story is going to be told of how important every believer in the body was. You know what the Bible says? In Corinthians, Paul says that God's going to judge every man. You know what the last part of the verse says? Then shall every man have praise of God. Isn't that a wonderful promise? If I look at the other parts of the body and you look at me, you say, what good is that part? But you know, one day we're going to hear what good was in that part of the body. Every part is necessary. And if we're not necessary, the Lord will take us home. We're not necessary here. We're needed. Our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That's a wonderful verse, too, to me. The part that lacks. You know, some of us have weaknesses, don't we, in certain areas. But, you know, God balances that by a strength, some other strength in our abilities. There's a gal up at Brent's meeting, you know. She's not pretty, but she's a nuclear physicist in math. I mean, she just knows math backwards and forwards. God has given her a gift in that area, even though she may not be so beautiful. And you know, we're that way too. The weak parts, the parts that sometimes we don't think are necessary, God offsets that by some other gift he has given to us. And the whole body, every person in the church, needs one another. It may seem like a weak member, and yet God is using that member for them. What about that brother that always comes up to you and argues with you? Always a pain in the neck. Why does God use him? Maybe he's trying to teach us a little patience, because tribulation works patience, doesn't it? Maybe he's just trying to see if we can put up with this part of the body for 80 years. It may take a while, but the Lord's even using those members of the body for good. If you get that little wood splinter, and some carpenters here I'm sure have had that problem, you get a wood splinter in your finger and you feel that for a while, and the body attacks it and finally he clears it. But while it's there, it speaks to you, you know? And the Lord uses those things in our lives too. Not just the pleasant times when everything's fine and dandy. Those times we generally tend to forget the Lord. But the times he puts us through the mill, we call upon him. We need him. I am the vine, the Lord Jesus said, and you are the branches. And as we get saved, we're grafted in to that vine. He's the head. We become part of the body. And so all of our life comes from Him. And we need the Lord Jesus in our lives more than we think we do. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Did you hear that? The same care one for the other. And as I look into my own heart, I know that this is not always true. That I have the same amount of care for every person in the body as for the ones I particularly like. The same care God wants us to have one for the other. There's no schism. There's not one part of the body over here. You know, if I was a hand, I said, I don't need you all. I'm going to do my own thing. And that's what we do as Christians. Some of us do that. We don't need those Christians. We're going to do our own thing. Now, again, it's important that we all do what the Lord wants us to do individually. But we're all part of the body, and we're all used to work together to do what the Lord wants us to do for Him. No schism. No part of that body off by itself, doing its own thing. Remember, we're all attached to the Lord Jesus. He's the head. Why are we here tonight? Why will we do what we're going to do tomorrow at work? You know, all those things are governed by the head of the body. There's not one thing that comes into any one of our lives that's an accident. Do you believe that? I know it's true. There's not one thing that happens. The Lord is governing every part of our individual lives. It's a wonderful thing to realize that. No matter what our circumstances are tomorrow, what's happening, what our financial situation is, what our family situation is, what our work situation is, I can name 100 other things. It doesn't matter what any of those things are. The Lord is in control of every one of us. And the circumstances, the so-called circumstances, that was luck. It wasn't luck. The Lord Jesus is in control of our lives, and He's in control of the body. What did Paul say? The Lord is ahead of the church sometimes? Is that what he said? He said, no. The Lord Jesus is the head of the church. That's a fact. And we can do what we want, but the Lord, if that's the way we're acting, if we're part of the body, and we're doing our own thing, the head's going to have something to say about it. And he's going to bring that part of the body back into subjection to himself. We are all part members of his body. Verse 26, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Like I said, if you hit your thumb, all the members get involved. Granddad Van Ryn used to use the illustration of ice cream. First the eyes see the ice cream. And the mind says, and the tongue says, it would be nice to have some of that ice cream, wouldn't it? And then the hands got to get involved and put that spoon in the ice cream and put it to the mouth, goes down the stomach, and you hear, and you get a big waistline. You eat too much of that. But all the body gets involved. And if one member suffer, if one of us are hurting, not just physically, we know we're praying for some of our own, but somebody right now that are hurting physically. What about those who are hurting spiritually? Do we have the care for one another that we should? And we can't do it on Sundays, brothers and sisters. We don't find out about it here, generally. Sunday morning, how you doing, brother? Okay. How you doing, sister? Okay. How you doing? If we're all honest, that's pretty much the way it is. We don't really hear too much on Sunday. But we can find out a lot during the week. We can pick up the phone and call and see how people are doing. And generally, we can see something on Sunday. Even if we can't find out anything, we can see there's a problem. Some of the members of the body walked in on Sunday morning like, problem? Maybe not. Maybe there is, too. And we need to care about the other members of the body, and not just in this assembly. Sometimes we limit our view, don't we, to this part of the body. This is just a very minimal part of the body. There's members of the body in all the different churches and all the assemblies of the United States and the world, missionaries. There's plenty of parts of the body. Do we care about the suffering members of the body? One another. Do we really care? It costs something to care, doesn't it? You know, the Lord said two verses about elders in John chapter 10. Two verses he said about the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If you're going to be a shepherd, that's what it costs. Give your life for the sheep. And he said this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. He knew them. He knows us. And we know him, who he is. And it's interesting that the requirements for elders in the scriptures are really the requirements God has for every believer. That's the standard he wants for all of us. Well, I think Paul says, seek that. Young men, seek that, to be elders. Why? Because that's something to attain as far as our life in Christ, to be something for him. But if we're going to do that, it's going to cost. It's going to cost you your life. You're going to have to give your life for that if we're really, truly caring about the members. If one member be honored, the rest of the body should hip hip hooray that member is honored. How much do we honor one another? I think I mentioned one time before in West Palm, I was up there one Sunday and was their meeting starts at 9:30. And I got there about 9:15. I was just sitting in the pew, just quietly praying. And a sister came and sat behind me, and she leaned up to my ear, and she just said this, I love you, Brother Keith. And I thought that came right from the Lord himself. It broke me that morning. But how much do we say that to one another? I love you, brother. I love you, sister. We generally say it when it's too late, don't we? They're laid out. I really loved that brother. I love that sister. How much do we say? I'm just as guilty of this, but caring for the other members of the body. I could do without. No, you can't do without. I love that. Do you love your heart? Do you love your lungs? Do you love those parts of the body? Of course we do. And they're all necessary. If one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Sometimes we're envious when some member's honored. How come they didn't honor me? Don't worry about that. The Lord's going to honor us one day. Isn't that what he says? Every man will have praise of God. And that's a wonderful promise, brother and sister. Every one of us is going to receive praise of God. Do we deserve it? Are you kidding? We're all sinners. We're not worthy the least of his mercies. And yet we read that every man's going to have praise of God. It's a wonderful promise in his word. Now ye are the body of Christ. You and me, we're part of the body of Christ. What I do affects him. I've kept his name. I'm a Christian. I bear the Lord Jesus' name. I'm also a Van Ryn. Sometimes I've heard this. Sunday school teachers used to ask me, do you want me to talk to your dad? No way. I'm a Van Ryn. And what I do affects my father's name. And what every one of us does or doesn't do affects the Lord Jesus' name. Do we care? About a year ago, there was a nursery school down here, and they had painted on the side of it a picture of Mickey Mouse. You know what happened? Walt Disney came down and sued them because they took Mickey Mouse and put him on the side of their building without their permission. They cared about the name of their little mousie. Do we care about the name that we carry? We carry the name of Christ, and we're part of his body. People see us, There's a Christian. He's a Christian. I don't want to be one. We need to be careful how we carry his name. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to be part of this body. Notice in verse 28, he says that God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No, it wouldn't be a good thing if everybody was an apostle. Are all prophets? No, not all are prophets. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Every one of us as believers should covet the best gifts. Don't be satisfied where we are. Let's grow in Christ. If you're young, start off with those little things that the Lord gives you to do. And what can I do? There's a lot of things to do. Open your eyes. You can write a letter. I don't care how young you are, you can write a letter. Dear brother or sister, I love you. The Lord, right? Don't need to say much more than that. Do you think people appreciate it? You bet. When you appreciate it, somebody wrote you that. We can all do something. Christ doesn't have to be major, it can be a minor thing. But we shouldn't be satisfied where we are either. We should be seeking always to grow. Sometimes we get to a level and we say, well, I'm there. We're never going to be there until the Lord comes. Grow in Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're part of the body. What part are you playing in the body? What part am I playing? Body. And if you're not saved, we would invite you to become part of the body of Christ. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says you need to recognize your need, that you're a sinner. And if you're not saved, God's judgment for sin is an eternity in hell, eternity separated from Him. But He wants you to be part of that body, the Lord Jesus Christ's body. And you can do that simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. It's interesting in Ephesians chapter 5 when he goes into the home, the Lord uses this, so the Apostle Paul again, to give this example of the body. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Is there any question that the church is subject to Christ? Is there? Sometimes there may be, right? Are we really subject unto Him? But like I said earlier, if we're not, the Lord will see to it that we do become subject unto Him. God has made all things to be under Him, under the Lord Jesus. He's going to be the governor that will rule. And notice it says, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. He's still giving Himself for the church. His work is being done through the church. And the Lord gives us His love and His helps and His grace and strength every day that He might work through us. Notice what he says in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What a wonderful thing. And he says it's a mystery. The apostle says, verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Who will ever be able to understand that the head is the Lord Jesus and the body is the church? We're all members of that body. And as we look at the whole picture, we're really some small parts of that body, aren't we? And yet we're all necessary. And if we all work together to do what the Lord has told us to do, then one day we're going to see the glory that He will present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That sinner, that bum, Keith Van Ryan, some of us look at ourselves and we realize our own sin. He's going to present us to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. God has begun in every one of us a work, right? When we got saved, when we came to know Christ, he started the work. All right, I'm going to work with you. And he promises something. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The work's going to get done. The Lord has not left any work unfinished. And he's going to work in every one of us what is pleasing to him. And when the end result comes, when the Lord Jesus comes, we're going to be just like him. And what a promise that is from his word. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he died for, that he might win us to himself. And that there might be a body for him, a wife, a bride for himself, that he'll present to himself, a glorious church. May the Lord help all of us to do what he's asked us to do in the body. And it may be different things from day to day. Whatever the Lord's told us to do, just seek to obey his word. And then all that body, parts of the body, will work together to glorify him who is the head of the church. Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee so much for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us. And we look at the extent of that love, Father. We have never seen anything like it, nor will we ever see it again. We realize how much the Lord loved us in that. We look at the cross and see an innocent Son of God hanging there on a criminal's cross, bleeding, the spit of men running down his face, face not recognizable. We realize thy love for us, Lord Jesus, and we thank thee for it. And we just pray that as thou hast saved us by thy precious blood, that we all have a part in the body, thy body of the church. And we just pray that each one of us might do what thou hast asked us to do until thou hast come again. We pray for anyone here tonight who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray that they might accept him tonight before it's too late. As we give thee thanks in his precious name. Amen.